Welcome to the AI on Action podcast, the show where we break down the hype and highlight the practical benefits of data science, machine learning, and artificial intelligence on our everyday lives. To subscribe to the podcast, check us out on iTunes, SoundCloud, and any Android podcast of choice. Hello, and welcome to another episode of AI in Action. I'm your host, Mark Kelly. My guest today is Ollie Daniels. Ollie is the CEO of the Insight Center for Data Analytics. We're over 450 researchers from DCU, UCD, NUI Galway, UCC, and other institutions. It's the Insight Center's vision to create a healthier, safer, more productive world by empowering a data-driven society to enable better decisions by individuals, communities, businesses, and governments. Over the course of the episode, Ollie will tell us about what attracted him to work with Insight Center, how Ireland could position itself on the leading edge of data science and AI, some of the great companies that have come out of Insight, such as Oracle, and how we can bridge the gap between ideas and commercialization. Later, Ollie will share with some of the exciting partnerships and projects in Insight at the moment. Without further ado, let's get straight into the interview. Oliver, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Mark. Delighted to be here.
Ollie, would you give me a little bit of a background about yourself and what attracted you to data analytics?
Yeah, so my background for many years, I suppose, unfortunately, I'd be described as a grey beard at this stage. I had over 30 years experience in the telecom sector. And what has been really interesting, mostly in the contact center space, so a lot of application development, a lot of building research and development teams in Ireland. What really I've noticed in the last number of years was the context was starting to become much more important when you were looking at a call, a person, you know, so that context was starting with the data that was there that could potentially drive new applications and new ideas was coming to the fore. I got the opportunity to interview for the CEO role with Insight, and Insight, maybe just to give you 2 seconds or, you know, maybe a minute on that. So Insight hasn't come from a standing start. So there were 5 research centres in Ireland spread across the 3 main cities, Cork, Dublin and Galway. All with probably sub-optimal numbers. And we brought them together in 2013. And we now have over 450 researchers looking at this. And the opportunity, first of all, there was an opportunity that attracted me, which was the integration. So bring the teams together and turn the whole being greater than the sum of the parts. So that's one of the things I think I would have done before in the past. Also to build the brand that is Insight, and to start to build the connections. Then once the connection internally was done, there was a real challenge to connect with industry and to other parts of the public sector in Ireland. You know, academics traditionally have collaborated with other academics. They do it every day of the week. And we would have an ecosystem within those 4 main universities, UCC, UCD, DCU, and NUI Galway. They're the 4 co-lead universities. We also have smaller teams in the Royal Irish Academy, in Maynooth, and in Tyndall. But those 4 main teams across those 4 institutions would have had phenomenal European and international networks. But we needed to layer on commercial networks as well. So we've done that really, really well over the course of the last, say, 4.5 to 5 years. And what I think what attracts me to this is I look at data as the fuel of the 21st century. This is going to be what will drive everything. And there is a huge potential to do good. I actually strongly believe that as Irish people, we need to, you know, take responsibility to try to give ourselves an edge. We're a small island on the edge of Europe. We have we can either decide we're on the periphery of Europe or we're on the leading edge. And I think the opportunity is to be on the leading edge. So what attracts me here is the fact that any industry you look at, manufacturing, the marine, agriculture would be our traditional indigenous industries. I think we need to look abroad as well and say how are others starting to take data and help to improve their processes. And rather than being afraid of the fact that we are going to see lots of new technologies introduced, let's embrace them.
Yeah, and I think for me, it's a decision to embrace them and say, we're actually going to take a lead, because it's actually in some ways a lot easier to, when you take a lead, when you change your mindset to do that. Tell me about some of the exciting startups that have come out of insight, because there's some been fantastic new changes that have allowed people and companies to come out of insight. That you talked about that commercialization and being very, very focused on that. And I think that's really, really important to share.
Yeah, well, I think there's another thing as well, is it doesn't have to be a startup that comes out of insight. It could be a startup that's already there. A good example of it would be Oracle, which is a sports science company which was based in Ireland. Now, interestingly, it didn't have the data analytics, but had all of these marvelous sports scientists as part of the team that understood everything to do with human physiology, human movement, nutrition, wellness, looking at the blood panels, looking at biomarkers. But then they were knocked out with all the data, and what could they do with it? So for me, it's the marriage between those two disciplines, the sports science and the data science, coming together. And now all of a sudden, there's something magical happening in that startup. They're dealing with elite athletes at the very, very top of their game. And the real potential for Ireland is that some of the stuff they're doing has great potential crossover into, particularly to cancer research. So I think the sweet spot there, again, would be we started to link them with the guys in the university hospital, and also to look at that whole space of human performance. Where I think the opportunity for Ireland is if we can develop HS. And by that I mean, if you take a sports science in one domain, you take a data science in the other domain, and you use the data to link the two, now all of a sudden you have two really deep sets of knowledge connected,
yeah.
And the data providing enlightenment both ways. And that's true then when you bring that into agriculture, you bring it into marine. In Ireland, there's a Future of Milk project that Chagas funded and Science Foundation Ireland have contributed, and so they're funding for the next couple of years. And one of the things they were missing in that was data analytics. So one of Insight's leading PIs out of University College Dublin, Mark Keane, he has now gone in as a principal investigator within that project, because that was the missing link. That he was the bar to connect the two.
It's interesting you say that. From interviewing people in the industry, one of the challenges from doing some really good work is getting the data. Yeah. Is actually getting it, because some people say, well, actually, that's our data, we're not giving you that data. And getting to do the case studies or the pilot programs, because they can't either access it or it takes a long time, but also to integrate it. So to existing systems and then bring it in together as well. And that can be quite costly and challenging. Do you see how there'll probably be a bit of a change and maybe kind of more proof of concepts as a starting point to grow it?
Or I think so, yeah. I think, well, one of the things we will look to do is we're going to develop over the course of the next couple of years a series of demonstrator systems that we can use as a show and tell, or even for the doubting Thomases, if you like, they can put their fingers in the wounds and they can actually try things. We're very much a research organisation as opposed to necessarily a development organisation. But that bridge that we all need to cross together to commercialise things, we need to make sure that there's we'd continue to grow the linkage between the research community and the people that can actually commercialise. So the space in between, it's actually probably as long, if not longer, to go from idea to commercial. So I think an opportunity for Ireland will absolutely be in the case of realising that, you know, creating the ideas is one thing, and there are huge banks of intellectual property in each of the universities today that I believe could be utilised better if we can get organisations, whether they're commercial organisations or other public or semi-state bodies, and we start to link again. I think there's great potential in the IT world. So, you know, at Lone IT, GMIT in Galway, DIT, Cork IT, those are all organisations where we need to make sure that those get into the mix here as well. Because
yes.
It's not just a preserve of the universities. I think that whole ecosystem that we have in Ireland, in terms of having the vision, is great. I think our opportunity is to build an implementation engine that can actually take some of these ideas and then bring them along that bridge to
cross
them.
And it doesn't have to be huge. It can be small, show and tells. Give it an
build
element
the knowledge,
where
you can
prove it to the point to say, here's an example. And then that allows people in the larger companies also to say, we've got a test, we can trial this out, then you can get more startups involved, and there's an ecosystem that starts to grow to do it. Can you tell me about some of the exciting projects that are going on at the moment? And I know there's a lot there, but maybe one or two that kind of
come
to mind.
So we have over 100 partnerships with companies. Recently, we signed a huge deal with Samsung in the area of next generation predictive analytics. And they came to us, so that was really interesting. So that's a multi-year, multi-billion euro contract.
That's fantastic investment.
We've also seen Fujitsu, who have continued to invest. This is, I think, their fifth year in a row. So they've, you know, multi-year, multi-million euro contracts. Again, we have got involved in a very interesting project with Insight at DCU, with Croke Park and with the Arizona Sun Devils in creating a smart stadium project. And that smart stadium project is really interesting because it was looking at two stadia in two different continents, but the partners, Microsoft and Intel, are funding the infrastructure in both. So the learning is quite important. Another interesting example is a large enterprise in Ireland came forward to us, and they were looking at natural language processing and trying to understand, you know, how is it that we keep missing out on lots of large contracts in the UK? So huge, large market in terms of public tenders being put forward. And we looked at creating knowledge graphs for them to say, well, with the descriptors of what you've got and what you're looking for, and with what's in the tenders, we can match what tenders we
That's
believe
That's so good.
You could target, and also ones that you've missed the last time round, but they're going to come up again.
Yeah.
So you're actually creating a machine learning framework that will help the decision makers to use the human resource much more effectively.
And it's learning as it goes.
Absolutely.
Which is incredible. And remember, we spoke off air about getting people involved in technology, getting people involved in data who might necessarily be involved. And sometimes you can see, well, it's very, very clear to see that we've got an awful lot of males in tech or males in that side of it. You were sharing some examples about how if you're a little bit more creative, you can actually entice some more females and actually get them involved. And we were both talking about some of the stuff in Coda Dojo and different type of hackathons as well. Do you want to maybe share some of that?
Sure. I mean, one of the kind of KPIs we have, as well as, you know, having human capital outputs, because we're going to produce close to 300 PhDs over the 6 years of Insight, will be involved in producing quite a number of top masters, but we're also involved in research masters. I mean, it's public funding, so we've got a public responsibility. So we have education and public engagement officers in each of the cities who do an amazing evangelical type role, reaching out to schools, national schools and secondary schools, and also to schools in DESH areas, or traditional schools that may not have, you know, been the ones that got involved in coding or in computer science, cyberbullying. We had over 500 school visits last year by the education officers. We run weekend Coder Jojo classes in each of the locations, so they've become drop-in centres. And these are kids, again, that are not necessarily from the demographic background that would traditionally have looked to get involved in coding early. The story that you alluded to was we had run hackathons in each of the locations, and we found the number of females getting involved in, young females getting involved in the hacks was quite low, and we didn't understand. So one of our outreach officers, Aveen Bird, based in UCD, she was brilliant. She said, well, let's go and ask the mums and let's go and ask some of the girls. And it was a stage where parents were concerned about having their girls, you know, with boys at a certain point in their lifespan. particularly, you know, maybe dedicated for a couple of days. So we said, maybe we'll run a girls only hackathon and see what kind of response we'll get. So we have started Girls Hack Ireland, and we've had three girls hacks across the three cities. We've been oversubscribed in each case. Huge response to, and it shows that there's a latent demand there. We just have to work at it. I mean, there isn't a perfect answer here. It doesn't mean, by the way, that I think girl-only hackathon is the right thing. But let's find out what are the barriers that are stopping girls from taking part and get to them early and engage them.
Probably my last question, and it's always a difficult question to ask. Where do you see the next 2 to 3 years in AI, ML, data science? Where do you see it going? Do you see a particular direction that's going down?
Well, first thing, I think there's probably a lot more happening in AI than necessarily give ourselves credit for. And AI has become a term, you know, it's a buzzword. If you look at the strategic plans of lots of the companies that are out there, they're all talking about data science and data analytics and AI. The challenge for lots of the companies is they don't have the people with those skills. So the kinds of people that we're producing, my target is that 50% of those PhDs will go to industry. And the next wave of PhDs, the same kind of numbers, we need to try and start pushing out more of those into industry. And that thought leadership will assist. I think the opportunity is in that interdisciplinary space that I mentioned earlier. I think as an island, we're relatively small and we're highly connected. Our opportunity is to bring together industries that traditionally, so the new industries that we haven't thought of yet, but by bringing them together, we'll get the ideas. I've looked at lots of the startups that you see in the medical device space, lots of really good engineers, brilliant ideas about practical, you know, human devices that they're creating. And they're all going to produce data, but they're thinking about the data after they produce it. So there's an opportunity for us to get in earlier and to get, I think, a series of master classes. So one of the things we're doing in Insight, and it's open to the public for anyone to contact us, is say, we've got a group of people, we'd like you to run a master class. So that master class series, we can get out to across Ireland, to different fora and in different ways. It helps when people have an idea of what problems they're trying to solve. But to come back to your original question, I think the opportunity in Ireland is in that interdisciplinary space. So between medical devices and data science, how do we bring them together so that we make those truly the smart devices? So the next wave of medical devices, the next wave of agriculture, the next wave of manufacturing. So that started. There's a huge investment by the government in two new research centres, one out of UCD and one out of UL, looking at different parts of the next generation manufacturing processes. Those are there. They don't have all the answers, but it's to start engaging with them. I think similarly, there's going to be a big opportunity if we look at our natural resources in agriculture and natural resources in marine. We need to create smart ports. Ports are like a stadium. They're usually self-contained and controlled by a limited company. And all of the logistical challenges you would have in a city in terms of transport, movement of goods, huge logistical and financial business processes. So smart enterprise opportunities to develop there as well. So I think there's some immediate opportunities for wins. A good example of people coming together was Insight Lero and Enable, Insight Lero and Connect are three of the research centres. And we were all going to business partners saying, we do smart cities or we do Internet of Things. In reality, we do the analytics layer. Lero were doing the security and software layer, and Connect were doing the connectivity layer. And when we sat down and we said, if we approach the companies with an architectural proposal, rather than going separately, it was a breath of fresh air. We got 29 companies to put €4.5 million of cash forward. And we've got the government to back that. So we now have a, effectively a huge spoke, as it's called, another funding instrument. And that's focused on an area for Ireland in the area of smart cities. I think the other one that we should probably look at as a country is if we look at how do we light up those rural towns and how do we make sure that they don't get left behind, the rural towns and villages, that they become smart places for young people to live and work.
And this is the challenge that we could be very, very smart and creative about. You've got companies like Shopify who every single one of their employees does remote work. They haven't got any type of office around the world. And there's so many different opportunities to do that as well. Ollie, thank you very much for your time today. I really, really appreciate it.
Not at all. Delighted to be here. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. That's all for this episode of AI in Action. Hope you really enjoyed it. If you'd like to stay updated with all the latest podcasts, then please head over to the website aiinaction.ie and subscribe to the newsletter to get the podcast delivered straight to your inbox. Finally, I'd like to take the time to let you know about the AI Awards. We're now looking for applications from academia and industry professionals to apply. Set up in 2018, the AI Awards are a not-for-profit business, community-led initiative that was set up to celebrate the best in artificial intelligence and data science in Ireland. Our focus is to support the AI community by recognising the hard work and dedication of those working in the field of AI, data science and machine learning. We see this as a fantastic opportunity to showcase your work and skills to the AI community on the island of Ireland and also help raise the profile of Ireland as a destination for AI investment. Winning an award brings industry-wide recognition, raises your company profile and increases awareness of your brand and product. Applications take only a couple of minutes, so go ahead, apply today at www.aiawards.ie. Thanks for listening and I'll catch you again next week.